I don't think you're ready for this.
Oh, yes.
We're about to get sexy.
So sexy.
Sexy.
Yes. Just like that.
Jaina, sorry, don't mean to ruin your sexy party, but are you sure? I feel like this one's a little bit more messy than it is sexy.
Ugh, why do you always gotta try and kill my vibe?
I don't know. I just don't want to disappoint the listener. Because, you know, this didn't turn out exactly like you thought it would.
Okay, all right, fine. You know what? Let's let the listener decide. Hello, my friend, and welcome to this week's episode of Big Lash Energy. I'm your host, Jaina Marie. There's a sexy, messy, scandalous story that I've been keeping from you.
And we're still going with sexy.
Okay.
All right. It's your show. Do what you want.
All right. That's not entirely fair. I haven't really been keeping it from you. I mean, we're friends. I wouldn't keep anything from you. I've basically just been holding off or waiting till my parents got bored of listening to Big Lash Energy and stopped listening. But being the supportive parents that they are, they're still here listening, even at episode 101.
Hi, Mom.
This is one that I didn't really want them to hear. I'm not proud of it at all.
This is definitely some old Jaina shit, but I learned a lot from it.
The reason why I decided I needed to tell it is because I did a little scrolling back through our library and realized that we haven't talked about sex or dating since episodes 81, 82, and 83. Considering this is supposed to be a sexuality and relationship wellness podcast, it's about damn time. So in other words, I'm about to pull a Justin Timberlake. I'm bringing sexy back.
You have no idea how much I wish I could play a clip of that song right now, but we don't have the rights to it, so I'm just going to go,
I'm bringing sexy back.
What?
Them other girls don't know how to act.
Bring it to the chorus.
Are you with me?
This is adult story time, so I highly recommend you not listen as you drive your kids to school. Maybe save this one for walking the dog, folding laundry, or your me time at the gym.
You've been warned. Oh, and that being said, this is a fair warning to both Wendy and Larry.
My parents.
If you stay listening past this point, it's now at your own discretion, and I will not be held liable for the trauma that it might cause. In other words, I know I've already given you guys enough reasons to drink, and I'm not trying to make it any worse.
Capiche?
Oh, and another thing before we get to the story. If you haven't heard episode 23 yet, it was called The One Where She Hired an Escort in Las Vegas. I highly recommend you give that one a listen before continuing today's episode. Don't worry, I'll stay here waiting, but take your time. It's a hilarious story, and it will give a lot of context to how I got to where I was at the time that we start the story that I'm telling today.
All right, enough with the warning.
It's finally time, so put on your headphones.
Pour yourself a glass of wine.
And go somewhere where your kids won't find you, because tonight's episode is all about the time I had a threesome, and the ending is going to surprise you.
Now, let's get sexy.
Really?
Welcome to Big Lash Energy, dedicated to helping you navigate life's hurdles with your head held high. We're celebrating wins, learning from our losses, and laughing at ourselves along the way. Now here's your favorite hype woman, Jaina Marie.
Jaina Marie.
I'm not even gonna lie, this is a hard story to tell. It's kind of embarrassing. It really is, but I'll make you a deal. If you don't judge me based on this story, you can hit me up in my DMs anytime and tell me anything, and I promise not to judge you. Okay? All right. Where do we begin? Well, this story starts off shortly after the shit show that was episode 22. To recap, I was in a long-distance relationship with D, who lived in Chicago. We were both very much in love, and somehow he convinced me that we needed to have one threesome a year. Now, I always wanted to be the cool girlfriend.
Overrated.
Sorry, something stuck in my throat. So I told him that I would do my best to make it happen. I put ads on Craigslist. I paid for us to go to Las Vegas, where I hired an escort, paid way too much money for nothing. I was doing the most. And I couldn't help but start thinking, it shouldn't be this hard, right? Like, sure, you could consider him a short king, but he was handsome, very well dressed. He knew how to charm people. Like, he had this way of learning all about you and what makes you tick. And then he would just use that to draw you in. And I was in the best shape of my life. I think I'm friendly and I'm not hard to look at. I love to dance and have a good time. So tell me, please tell me why it seemed so difficult to find a third person to bring into the bedroom with us. Now, I'm pretty sure I already know what you're asking yourself.
Why the hell was I okay with this?
Fair question. Well, for one, he said that this would keep him loyal. And I always felt like this was something every man secretly dreamed of, whether he was willing to admit it or not. So I kind of appreciated his honesty. Also, I was so confident in the connection that we had that no one would ever be better for him than I was. I didn't think anyone could be my competition. And in fact, I still believe that. So in other words, I didn't really have a reason to be jealous or insecure around somebody else. Lastly, I wanted to impress him. Simple as that. I loved him. I thought he was my forever person, and I wanted to keep him happy. I considered it wifey shit. On top of all of that, we had discussed rules so that I would feel more comfortable. Number one, I get to pick the girl. Number two, she couldn't be hotter than me. And number three, it had to be someone. Had to be someone that he couldn't talk to ever again. I.e., I had her contact info, not him. Simple, right? Well, whenever we joked about bringing another woman into the bedroom, he'd say, "Don't worry, she and I would never have what you and I have. I'd give her number 3D. I had to ask, "What's number 3D? He goes, "You know, like I'd be giving it to her, but not trying too hard to impress her or pleasure her because it's all about us. I'd save the good D for you." He proceeded to act it out so that I would understand. Like, he gyrated his hips unenthusiastically, rolled his eyes like, "Meh, she's whatever," then reached over to give me a high five. I laughed and playfully high-fived him back because I loved when he did silly shit like that. So as far as I understood, she'd be there, but not getting the passion that we had. And for some reason, that made sense to me. I could live with that. I should mention, there was something about being around D that made me feel safe. Like, I let loose a lot more than with anybody else. I think there was just something inside of him that told me it was safe to be myself. Probably because he made me feel seen, appreciated, and adored. He knew everything about me, and the parts I thought were the ugliest, he seemed to love the most. The soft spots, the vulnerabilities, the imperfections, and the insecurities. When things were good between us, they were the best. Like we were in our own little world and nobody else mattered. Have you ever heard of a twin flame? I'm pretty sure that's what he was to me. It's someone who's almost like another version of you. Anyways, I can't over-romanticize this guy because he was also a goof. I mean, I've already been far too kind. He had an entire other life that he was hiding from me, but of course, at the time of this story, I had no idea about that. At this time, I was all in and madly in love. I was convinced he was my person, and sure, nothing and no one could change that. So on the night of this story, I was visiting him in Chicago. I'd booked us a nice hotel downtown, and we were excited to go to a concert together. While I was busy doing my hair and makeup, he ran to the store. And when he came back, I saw that he'd brought us a bottle of vodka and some Sunny D. I hate Sunny D. I think it tastes like it could double as a cleaning detergent, but I was ready to have a good time, so I wasn't too worried about what it tasted like, as long as it got me to a happy, tipsy place. On our way out the door, I grabbed that jug and emptied half a bottle of vodka into it. This meant I was going to be carrying around a jug of vodka and orange juice, drinking it like I was stealing a sip from the fridge. This is when I probably should have known that the night was going to go to shit, because no wholesome romantic evening starts with chugging vodka straight from a jug of Sunny D. Just saying. See, now that's kind of romantic, right? Getting a little tipsy together, having some fun?
No. No, Jaina. Espresso martinis next to a fireplace lounge, that's romantic. Walking next to the freeway with a jug of Sunny D in your hand with vodka in it, not romantic.
Okay, that's fair. When we got to the arena, we were too early to go to our seats, so we went and found a little bar area to stand and have a drink together. This is around the time when things started to get a bit messy. I mean, I've been drinking a lot of vodka, plus whatever it was I'd had at the bar. You could say I was probably around 50% white girl wasted. We were all snuggled up, kissing and taking sips of our drink by the bar, and D, in his drunkenness, happened to mention something about being insecure about money because he didn't have a job at the time, so I was paying for everything. Now, I heard this and wanted to make him feel better, but of course, I'm super drunk. I distinctly remember falling all over him and saying the dumbest shit, like,
"You don't have to worry. I love that you're broke right now. Really, because I know one day, baby, you're going to be so rich and you're going to be able to look back and say, Jana was there for me when I had nothing, okay?
Sure, sure, I know.
You'll meet other women. They'll be hotter than me. They'll be younger than me. But you're going to know that nobody loves you like I do."
I thought what I was saying was romantic, but as a prideful man who didn't want to be in the situation he was in, I'm sure hearing the woman you love saying basically, "Don't worry, I think it's great that you're broke," was far from sexy. But the vodka had me thinking what I'd said was perfectly acceptable. Anyways, the night went on. We held on to each other as the concert started. The lights of the show lit up our faces. He squeezed my hand and I leaned in for a long kiss. I'd always wanted to be that couple that couldn't help themselves from making out in public, and that's who we were. The show was incredible. There were songs that The Weeknd performed that we'd often played in the bedroom. So as we stood there dancing with each other, I could feel the sexual tension getting stronger. If we could have, I think we would have torn each other's clothes off right then and there. But, you know, there's laws and stuff. Once the concert ended, we were on such a high, we didn't want the night to end. So as the crowds emptied from the stadium onto the street, we tried to think of what else we could do that night. We stood on the corner outside of the arena for a while, and suddenly he said, "You know what? I know a spot." And he flagged down a taxi. He opened the door for me. We got into the car, sitting pressed right up against one another. I held his hand and watched as the city flew by. I rested my head on his shoulder, and he was busy on his phone, but every once in a while, he would kiss me on the forehead. Because we were long distance, I didn't take moments like this for granted. I was just trying to soak it all in, taking a deep breath, smelling his cologne, enjoying the ride, looking out the window every once in a while, and just being so thankful that I was in the same city as him. Eventually, I realized that the drive was taking a really long time. I was confused as to why we needed to go so far out of the city when we had started right downtown. Weren't there clubs around there? I was sure there were other places we could have gone to, but hey, it was his city. Who was I to tell him where we should spend our time? Plus, I was enjoying the ride. It seemed like he had a very specific place he wanted to go, so I was excited to see what he had in store. We pulled up. I paid the taxi driver and de-squeezed my ass as we stepped inside. Side note, broke guys always squeeze your ass when you're paying. It's almost like they're saying,
"Don't worry, babe. I'll pay you back later with this dick."
Hey. Once we walked into the club, I took a look around and did my best to hide how disappointed I was. I couldn't believe that we'd driven all this way for this place. It was so small and plain. Sure, the music was loud, but the space itself was very whatever, and my guess is there was only like 30 people inside, but it didn't seem empty because it was so small. I decided to make the most of it, and since the buzz had worn off, it was time for a drink. Dee and I approached the bar, and one of the bartender's eyes lit up when she saw us. She was a full-figured black woman with big eyes, dimples, and an inviting smile. She had an ass that was way too big for her itty-bitty waist, so I figured either she was a freak of nature or she'd had a tummy tuck. Either way, her body was banging. She had a pixie cut and a silk scarf as a headband. It was tied at the back of her head. Dee smiled his usual charming smile and said, "Can I get 2 gin and tonics?" She said,
"Of course,"
and grabbed 2 glasses. The ends of her scarf slid back and forth between her shoulder blades as she moved around the bar making our drinks. While she was in the middle of pouring the shots, she smiled at him and nodded her head towards me and said,
"She's cute."
He said,
"Thanks, I agree."
Then he grabbed my hand and kissed it. I smiled and took the drink she'd partially spilled on the bar. I took a sip and thought to myself, wait, the hot bartender thought I was cute? Okay. After swallowing what was a very basic slash maybe even gross drink, I said, "This is perfect. Thanks." She smiled again, almost like she knew I was lying, and said,
"My name's Frankie. What's yours, hon?"
I said, "Jana."
Jada?
No, Jayna. J-A-Y-N-A.
Oh, I like that.
I decided to stop while I was ahead, so I smiled and turned to walk away. To where? I had no idea, but I just didn't want to stand there anymore. I thought I would leave it on a good note. Something about knowing the hot bartender thought I was cute had me on cloud nine. Maybe it was the gin. Either way, a song I liked started to play and I moved on to dancing. D wasn't really a dancer. Instead, he liked to do this thing where he would just stand at the bar staring at me with a little smirk on his face and watch me move. His expression made me feel like he couldn't believe he got to be there with me. It was like I had a spotlight on me. Once my drink was done, he asked if I wanted another one and I said sure. Over the course of about an hour and a half, I never had an empty glass. I guess that's one of the perks of flirting with a bartender. Eventually, the place had emptied out. There were just a few people left. We stood at the bar, laughing and dancing together, and eventually, Frankie asked us,
"Where are you guys going after this?"
I said, "We don't really have any plans," and I'm thinking, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. What should we be doing at this time besides sleeping? She said,
"Once I'm done here, I'll give you guys a ride back to your hotel room."
Wait, what? Was Frankie inviting herself back to our place? Was this finally happening? Were we finally going to have the threesome that I'd been trying so hard to orchestrate? Better yet, one that was happening organically, like without the Craigslist posts, without the escort listings, just a real, authentic, hey, I like you, you like me, let's have some fun kind of threesome? Oh my gosh, what luck. She made us each another drink to enjoy as she cleaned up the bar and she did her closing out duties. I pulled D aside and asked,
do you think she wants to hook up with us?
He goes, it seems like it. Do you think you can close the deal? I said, yeah, don't worry. I got this. Finally, the three of us loaded into her SUV. D and I both sat in the back. The gin and tonics I'd had in the club were psyching me up for a conversation I'd never had before. Okay, Jayna, you can do this. She turned on some music and we made some small talk on the drive. She asked,
how did you two meet?
I said, we met in Mexico about a year ago and we've been crazy about each other ever since.
D could tell I was back to tipsy and laughed at how crazy I sounded. As drunk as I might have been, I hadn't lost sight of the goal. I knew I had to seal the deal. And in order to do that, I had to turn the conversation sexy. It was time to go in for the kill. And what I said next, I still can't believe ever came out of my mouth.
You know what? You'd probably be crazy about him too if you tried this dick. Yeah, he's great in bed.
Yep. I actually said that. Surprised, she locked eyes with me in the rearview mirror and said,
oh, really?
She seemed interested. Well, that went better than I thought. I decided to double down.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me, I'll let you try him if you want.
Sober Jayna would have shat her pants on the spot, but I was sitting there all nonchalant saying things I didn't even want to say. Meanwhile, D had the proudest look on his face. If anyone deserved a trophy for coolest girlfriend ever, it was me. Hell, forget the trophy. I deserved a whole ass parade. I mean, seriously, not only am I setting up a threesome for this dummy, but I'm making him sound like a total Casanova. And he was, like, good, but not that good. We pulled up to the hotel and she parked, put 2 hours worth of money into the meter. I thought to myself, oh, thank God she's not spending the night. I mean, I didn't really know the rules of these things. Like, are we all supposed to wake up together in the morning and I order breakfast to be delivered for all of us?
Hi, room service. Yeah, I'm just wondering how many eggs come in the Grand Slam breakfast? 3? Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, I'll get one of those. Oh, and 3 sets of cutlery too, please. Thank you.
The elevator ride was so awkward. We're now in bright lighting, away from the beats and the music of the club, just standing there like 3 assholes, super close together, trying not to make eye contact, but trying to make conversation like we're not about to go to a hotel room and do a whole bunch of nasty shit.
Do you travel much?
Oh, not really. I work a lot. I'm trying to see my family soon.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. I like your shoes.
I'm not even kidding. If someone told me I could go back in time 7 years, I would get 7 years added onto my life. I just have to go back to that moment. I'd be like, nah, I'll pass. I don't know if there's ever been a thing you thought you really wanted till you got it, then realized maybe you didn't. Like, I guess you could kind of compare this to thinking you want to go bungee jumping. Then you drive all the way out to some place in the wilderness, get yourself all strapped up, and then stand on the edge and look down and think, ah, do I really want to do this? Yeah, that was me. After walking down what felt like a never-ending hotel hallway, we finally got to our room. I fumbled around in my purse for the key and opened the door. Thankfully, I'd booked a spot with a nice little seating area. I mean, I didn't know we were going to have company, but it sure came in handy. Immediately, Dee made a shitty drink for each of us, Sunny Dee and vodka.
Yay!
And he connected his phone to the Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, okay, I see you, my guy. You're setting the mood.
That's when I realized I was about to be naked with Miss Super Booty, so I quickly ran to the bathroom to change into something steamy. There's no way I was going to be out-sexied by a stranger.
Now, this is the part that I want to yell at my parents. Headphones! Take your headphones off! Nothing to listen to here! Keep it moving!
I may as well just rip this band-aid off. Let's just tell the story. I crawled under the bed in my touched-up makeup with my smoky eyes and black lingerie. And I thought to myself, no backing out now. Let's get this over with. Frankie was busy making small talk with Dee, but once she saw that I'd changed into something sexy, she made her way over to the bed.
Oh God, she's getting closer. This is really happening. We're really doing this. Okay.
Once she got to me, she moved some of my hair off my shoulder and said,
I like this outfit.
It's almost like she waited a bit to make sure that Dee was watching, and then she went in for the kiss. I loved that she took the pressure off me from having to make the first move. And to be honest, it was a really great kiss. Frankie wiped off her bottom lip and said,
damn, you're so sexy.
And then went back for some more. See, I told you this was a sexy story.
Yeah, no, you're not fooling me, okay? I know how the rest of the story goes, and the listener deserves to hear it too, so keep going.
All right. Now, Dee was smart. He didn't waste a second. That man grabbed his phone and started recording. Honestly, I didn't really mind. We were in a long-distance relationship, and I figured if I was going to go through all of this for him, we may as well get some content out of it so he has something to watch while I'm away and didn't have to watch porn. Now that I knew he was recording, I was putting on a show for him, acting like I was having way more fun than I really was. I mean, nobody wants to be the weak link in a threesome, right? Especially not me. I'm the fun girlfriend, remember? I'm the one who gets shit done, the one who deserves a parade.
Yeah!
Eventually, he put his phone down and decided that he'd gotten enough content, so it was time to join in. There was one brief moment where he kind of looked like, oh shit, where do I start? But being the smart man that he was, he started by giving me a kiss. And knowing that there was someone else in the bed that he would be kissing later, you better believe I was coming with all the passion. While the kiss was great, this was also the exact same time that all the alcohol I had had throughout the night suddenly was coming back to me. Like the tequila shots, the vodka, the gin and tonics, the Sunny D. It's like they'd all formed an army inside of my stomach and were looking up at me like, hey, can we join the party? I'm pretty sure those drinks that we'd had at the club at the very end of the night had pushed me past my limit, and now my body was feeling it. My stomach started to turn. My body temperature went up. My heart started to race. And as the room started to spin and my eyes started to blur, it was just this confusing mishmash of hands and mouths and limbs everywhere. Everything just felt so wild and weird, and I wanted it to stop. I was so confused, but I couldn't leave because there was this other woman there and I needed to be the cool girlfriend. My head started feeling heavy, almost like I was one of those beanie babies, but the beans were all in my head. I was swaying back and forth, and I thought if I grounded myself with my hands on the mattress on either side of Dee, then they wouldn't be able to tell how drunk I was. So I put both hands on either side of his face, and I went in for a really deep kiss, and that's when it happened. My stomach did a backflip, and it felt like it landed in my throat. I'll be right back. I jumped up off the bed, ran to the bathroom as fast as I could, and before I knew it, I was barfing all over the place.
Sexy.
I tried to hold my hair back as what felt like a week's worth of food went hurling out of my mouth and all over the inside of the toilet. The alcohol was burning its way up my throat, and all I was thinking was, thank goodness the music's loud. Hopefully they can't hear this.
Ugh, this wasn't how this was supposed to go.
Still feeling nauseous, I sat down on the floor and tried to catch my breath. I wiped my mouth.
Ugh. Oh, this feels so gross.
I was regretting every single decision that I'd made that night. Every drink I said yes to. Why? I don't normally drink this much. I flashed back to the bartender making all those gin and tonics at the end of the night. And that's when it hit me.
Shit.
Dee's in bed alone with another woman. I have to get back in there.
Pull yourself together, Jana.
Time to make a comeback. But first, I gotta check to make sure I look okay. Can you imagine how hard it is to feel sexy again after you just finished puking your guts out? Like a boxer who'd been knocked out in the ring, I slowly peeled myself up off the floor and I made my way to the mirror. First glance, I couldn't believe how terrible I looked. I splashed some water on my face, wiped off the running mascara from underneath my eyes, brushed my teeth, and fluffed up my hair like that was gonna help at all, and made my way back to the bedroom. Because I was so busy worshiping the porcelain god, I didn't have that much time to really think about Dee and Frankie. I don't know what I thought they would have been up to while I was gone for that long. I mean, to be fair, I didn't even really know how long I'd been gone for. But I know that I wasn't thinking they were doing what I saw when I came around the corner. There was Frankie laying on her back, legs spread wide open with her feet pointing to the ceiling. Dee on his knees, laying down the pipe, like I'm talking fucking, like headboard banging, ass smacking, fingers grabbing the bed sheets, and like it was scheduled to happen at exactly the second that I would come around the corner, I heard Frankie yell, "Oh fuck yes!" That was not, I repeat, not number 3 Dee, and it wasn't a threesome either. This was Dee and Frankie just together, alone, without me. It's not like they hit the pause button when I walked out the room. I know you're probably thinking, okay, Jaina, you signed up for this. Not only that, you set it up. Sure, but I was planning on being a part of it, and nothing could prepare me for seeing it zoomed out, like from a bird's eye view. I don't want to see my favorite person sharing our most sensual, most passionate thing that we have together with somebody else. It felt like someone else was chewing my favorite pencil. My heart was broken, but in that moment, I had to swallow my feelings. And let's be honest, if there was anything that was going to make me feel nauseous before, like if I wasn't already sick, this made me want to puke. But I swallowed it. I swallowed how I felt and told myself, I got to get back in the game. I can't be the weakest link. So I put on a brave face and got on the bed. It was almost like there was a silent conversation happening between the three of us that was kind of unspoken. Like the two of them both together went,
Oh, she's back.
And I'm saying, yeah, bitches, remember me? I threw myself into the mix. And to be honest, I wish I could make this story better. I wish I could tell you what exactly I did. But honestly, this whole night was a blur. Regardless, I tried to get back into the game. But very quickly after making my reappearance, waves of nausea came back over me. And I knew exactly what to expect this time. So I got up, played it cute, and went straight back to the bathroom. There I was, throwing up again. This time, I didn't fight it. I just let it happen because honestly, it's exactly how I felt. I just wanted to puke. But in the middle of it all, the playlist came to an end. So, as I'm pulling myself together, wiping my mouth off, all I can hear is the sound of those two fucking in the other room. Great.
Oh, yes. Oh, Dee, give it to me. Yeah, babe. I'm so glad we found you at the bar tonight. Isn't Jaina great? Oh, yeah. I'm so glad she brought us together.
This is my worst nightmare. I stayed in the bathroom for a little while longer because, let's be honest, I was just over it at this point. When I finally reemerged, Frankie was getting her stuff together. It's almost like she realized she was out of parking time and thought, well, I'm done fucking shit up here. Guess it's time to go. Side note, in this equation, in my opinion, it's always better to be the third person and not the people in the couple. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
I gave her a half-hearted nod, like, thanks for coming over. And as the door closed, I put on something comfortable. And let's be honest, I never wanted to see that lingerie again. And I climbed back into bed.
Ugh, finally some peace. Dee put his arm around me like he was so proud that I'd done this for him. And meanwhile, all I was focused on was trying to get the vision of him and Frankie together out of my head.
That's when he broke the silence with, isn't Frankie great?
I had nothing nice to say. And I knew that if I actually expressed how I really felt at that moment, it would ruin the whole night and all of my struggle would have been for nothing. So I just let that one breathe. Oh, and speaking of breathing, my pillow smelled like Frankie's perfume.
Ugh, great.
I thought to myself, did he really just have actual real sex with a stranger? Was he wearing a condom? Even though the room was quiet, my mind was loud. I started to realize that we hadn't talked about what the actual rules were, like whether or not actual sex would be happening, so I guess I didn't really have a right to be upset. That's it. I had to say something. I snuggled into his chest like I was just trying to make friendly conversation, and I said, oh, I'm just kind of surprised you had real sex with a stranger. I was not ready for what he was about to say.
Oh, that's not the first time I met Frankie.
What?
Oh, no. She and I go way back. I've known her for years. In fact, like, we've hooked up a couple of times before.
What?
You never told me this. Well, you never asked.
My blood was boiling. I was seeing red, but I played it cool on the outside. And I'm pretty impressed with myself for this. Not going to lie, because let's be real. I'm sure this is how they end up finding dead bodies in hotel rooms. I'm not saying I'd kill someone, but I am saying that it crossed my mind.
I was blown.
I didn't think this night could get any worse. I'd been had. Suddenly, everything made sense. Now I understood the reason we had to go to that nightclub, that shitty club out in the middle of nowhere. All the text messages he'd been sending on the way there. The reason she pointed me out right away. I should have known. What stranger immediately asks to drive you home from a bar after a long night of work? I'd been duped, bamboozled, hoodwinked, conned into a threesome that I would have never agreed to had I known. Now, in only 2 nights, I was gonna be flying back to Canada, going back to my city like a complete jackass, leaving the two of them back in Chicago together. I had nightmares of my plane taking off and looking out the window to see the two of them arm in arm, waving as I disappeared into the clouds like a complete asshole. Sure, he'd broken rule number 3, that it wasn't supposed to be someone that he could ever hook up with again, but what could I do about that now? It was too late. The ironic part is, while I was so worried about his loyalty when I would leave the city, the real reason that he and I had to stay in a hotel, he told me it was because he was embarrassed of his place. But the real reason we had to stay in a hotel when I was in Chicago was because he was actually living with another woman the whole time. We talked about that in the 3-part trilogy, 50 Shades of Red. So I guess I was worried about something that didn't even need to be a thing because he was just a piece of shit on every angle. And here I was doing the most under the guise that this is what I had to do in order to keep him loyal. What did I learn? Well, for one, never ever trust a man who tells you he needs to be with someone else in order to remain faithful to you. I mean, saying it now, after all the personal growth and healing that I've done, I realize and acknowledge this sounds completely stupid. But just in case you weren't sure about that. Also, I don't think I'd ever agree to anything just for the sole enjoyment of anyone else if I wasn't also into it. Because really, you're only going to get hurt. If I were to ever, ever partake in a threesome again, there's a 90% chance that this would never happen, but in the off chance that the stars aligned, like maybe I met a really old billionaire and his even older wife, and they were willing to sign all their riches to me if I just fulfilled this one sexual fantasy? You got it, Gramps. Where do I sign? But in the real world, it would have to be with someone I wasn't desperately in love with, because that just feels horrible. I know there's some people that can be into that, but I discovered that night that I am not one of those people. Oh, and lastly, never, ever start your night by drinking vodka from a jug of Sunny D.
Yay!
I don't think it needed to be said, but just in case. So what do you think? Was it sexy? Was it sexy or was it messy? We live and we learn. Again, like I said, you can hit me up in my DMs with any story you want, and I promise not to be judgmental. Just please, please don't judge me based on this story. It's something I would never do again. I'm sure if my parents are still listening, they'll be happy to hear that. Also, sorry, Mom. Thanks a lot for listening. If you know someone who would enjoy this story or someone who could use a little BLE in their life, could you pretty please share this show with them? I hear every time you do, a girlfriend somewhere smartens up and tells her boyfriend he can't have a threesome.
No.
It's true. Thanks again for listening. Next week, we're going to talk about something that's actually sexy. I'm going to be doing my boudoir shoot with Jennifer Williams, and I'm bringing you with me. So I'll see you then. Until next week. Please go be your most fabulous self and don't forget to spread that badass big lash energy everywhere you go.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Would you fit me in if you can?
Damn, Jane. I don't understand, Larry. We did everything we should have done. We put her in private school, we took her to church. I was a good influence, and still, she's out here doing all these horrible, despicable things with strangers in old dusty nightclubs in Chicago. Like, what did I do to deserve this? It's Wendy, it's okay. She learned her lesson. You know, we all go through these phases. I never got to have a really fun night of drinking and like sexual debauchery with people that I never met. It sounds like a lot of fun. And I never got to try it, and but I'm really mad at her. That's what it is. I'm mad at her.
Right, of course. That's what it is.
Fresh face, man, I can't wait to show it. Of course, you got that nice touch. Mix it with the right stuff. Know it's gonna be alright when you come through. Oh, girl, you're like a superhero. I know, ain't nobody like you. You know that they try to, but they don't come close. That's why I'm yelling, damn, Jane. Would you fit me in if you can? Damn, Jane. I know you the one with the plan. Damn, Jane. There's no time to waste. Would you make? Damn, Jane. Could you make me up right now? Damn, Jane. Would you fit me in if you can? Damn, Jane. I know you the one with the plan. Damn, Jane. There's no time to waste. Fit me in if you can. I know you the one with the plan. Yeah, there's no time to waste. Would you make me up? Could you make me up right now?